alphabetical order. It rules, think about this, so much of the organisation of our lives, but it's one of the things we don't dwell on. When did you last give it a moment's thought? How did we come to organise things by letters? What systems did alphabetical order replace? And here's a thought, what might replace alphabetical order? One person who spent a lot of time pondering just these issues is historian Judith Flanders. Now, Judith has written several acclaimed books, The Victorian City, The Invention of Murder, among them. British newspaper Sunday Times describes her as a meticulous historian with a taste for the offbeat. Her new book is called A Place for Everything. And I can confirm to you that its chapters are meticulously organised from A to Z, as they ought to be. Judith joins me now via Skype from Montreal. Judith, welcome.
Thank you.
Can we begin at the beginning with A, A for alphabet, which seems fairly obvious. We can't have alphabetical order without an alphabet. How did that come about? I mean, why is it necessary to have a particular sequence of letters, and who came up with that thought?
Well, of course, it isn't necessary to have a particular sequence of letters, and indeed, civilization did very nicely without it. There was Sumerian cuneiform, there were Egyptian hieroglyphs, there were Mesoamerican forms of writing. There have been many forms of writing. There continue to be many forms of writing that do not use the alphabet. Chinese, Japanese, all of these are non-alphabetic languages. Mm. The alphabet is such an odd idea. Not that we represent a word or a syllable, but that we represent a sound. Is such an odd idea that historians of writing believe it was only invented once in the entire history of humanity. And that was about 3,000 years ago in Egypt, in the Western Desert, when a bunch of probably semi-educated traders, mercenaries, travelers, all came together speaking different languages and sharing no mother tongue, sharing no writing systems. They developed this kind of shorthand. The alphabet is, in effect, a shorthand. The letter T, for example, is the shorthand for the sound T. And they created this sort of hybrid in order to be able to communicate with each other. And because it was easy, which hieroglyphics are not, which Chinese writing, for example, is not, the alphabet just took over.
Which is a long jump from then arranging the world according to its sequence. Where did that first take place?
It is a very long jump. There may have been some use of a rudimentary alphabetical order at the Great Library of Alexandria about 2000 BC. 200 BC, I beg your pardon.
Yes.
What's a couple of thousand years between friends? They may have put the scrolls, all the authors beginning with A went there, all the authors beginning with B went here. We don't know. This may have happened. But apart from that, alphabetical order really takes a tremendously long time to come into ordinary use. Because if you've only got a few dozen of anything, you don't really have to put it in order. And until the 12th and 13th centuries, even monastery libraries, which is where most books were in Western Europe, even they only had 100 or so books per monastery. Some only had 20 or 30. Very often they're duplicate copies. They're, you know, several copies of the Bible. So you don't need to put those things in order. You can just put your hand on what you need. It's only when you get to a situation that civilization has a lot of stuff, whatever that stuff is, that you need to begin to organize it.
But you point to that moment too. I mean, that books, that literary culture was, for much of history, a thing of churches. And I can't imagine people in that literary culture wanting to put God after aardvark. That would be heretical.
Well, it was absolutely heretical. Alphabetical order doesn't take off in the beginning for two reasons. One is that memory is considered to be a part of learning. We consider being able to look things up to be a part of learning. Mm-hmm. We teach children how to look things up. But in the Middle Ages, it was being able to remember things. And things had an order that we don't think about. The Bible, the books of the Bible are in a set order. No one thought of putting them in alphabetical order any more than we would think today of putting the days of the week in alphabetical order. I mean, why would you do that? It's actually quite difficult to do. And the other thing is, as you say, the world was hierarchical. God is at the pinnacle, then come the angels, then come the saints, then come mankind, then come animals, and so on and so forth. So the golden age of encyclopedia writing in the Middle Ages, which was hugely important, the encyclopedias were in the order of God's creation, because to not do that, to put angels angeli before God, Deus, just because angeli starts with A and God, Deus, starts with D, not only meant that you probably weren't very smart, you probably didn't understand God's creation. Even worse, you might be a rebel. You might be trying to upend hierarchy.
It's, and this thought had never occurred to me until I started thinking about having this conversation. But alphabetization is such a random process. There is no particular reason why things occur in this sequence other than that letter. It says nothing about their properties. It says nothing about their nature.
And, of course, that is the huge bonus as well as the huge demerit of alphabetical order. It's completely neutral. It is, if you like, democratic. When you say, if you've got a class of children and you're putting them on two school buses, if you say all the children whose last names, you know, A to L on bus one, M to Z on bus two, it's completely neutral. Imagine if you said all the pretty children on bus one, please, or all the smart children on bus two, all the children with rich parents. And of course, all of these systems, well, maybe not the pretty children, but all of these systems were in use before. Hierarchy meant, in effect, all the rich children, all the children of social status go first. This is a long time system. Very often you had systems where, for instance, the Doomsday Book, the book that William the Conqueror, after he had invaded England.
How did he organize that?
Well, that's very interesting because the book is actually organized. It's a analysis of land ownership. That's what the Doomsday Book is. It says who owns what in his new country. And at the start of the book is the king. Well, William, to the best of my knowledge, isn't the beginning of the alphabet, but the king is the most important. Then you have it, the book then begins to be divided geographically by region. And then within each geographical district, it starts with the nobility and the senior church clergy. and then it moves down the social hierarchy until you end up with the tiniest little landowners at the very end.
Which is a logical enough sequence, when considering what the Doomsday Book is attempting to order, that makes a certain amount of sense. I'm wondering, as we move on, and as the instinct to alphabetically order starts to assert itself, what place in that sequence does the advent of the dictionary have?
Well, the dictionary, of course, is again something that, like the Doomsday Book, it starts off with being used by people who already have information about the subject. The Doomsday Book, you can look things up in it if you already know where people live.
Yep.
The alphabet means you don't have to know things to start looking things up. You don't require any knowledge apart from the fact that, say, Derbyshire begins with a D. In a dictionary, the Académie Française in France, who produced, worked on one of the early dictionaries of language. There were Latin dictionaries before, but they worked on one of the first non-Latin dictionaries. And they were outraged when somebody else published a dictionary of French, which was in alphabetical order. They thought it should be in etymological order, the order in which the words were derived and developed. And they rather sniffed at this earlier one, which they said, you know, ease of looking it up seems to be all that's guided them. And, of course, the modern reader thinks, well, yes.
Yeah. One of the great sniffers at alphabetization was Coleridge. Tell us about his thoughts, the great poet's thoughts on this idea.
Sniffing is perhaps too gentle a word. Kohler was incandescent with rage about alphabetical order. He thought it was ludicrous because, as we say, it was a system which is neutral. And so when the Encyclopedia Britannica was published, which it first was in his day, he objected strenuously to this new publication because it was random. Why should things that begin with A be at the beginning? And so he decided that he was going to produce his own dictionary, which he was going to call the Encyclopedia Metropolitana. Where each thing would lead on to the next. It would be rather in medieval fashion, although it would not be guided by the notion of God's plan, but it would be an Enlightenment project in the same way that would develop learning and how learning developed. As it happens, Coleridge never actually did write his encyclopedia, so we don't know what it would have
what
been like.
Here we have letters. It could only be a matter of time before someone would seek to overturn the precedence of letters with numbers, which takes us to the story of Melville Dewey.
If there's a villain, to me, Melville Dewey is the villain. I mean, first of all, of course, the Dewey Decimal System is a system dense with problems. It is not an alphabetical system. It is a numerical system. And Dewey, like Coleridge, thought that simply using the alphabet was not very helpful. And so what he did was he devised this numerical system that would take all the learning of the world, he thought, and give it category numbers. So each specific area would be allocated a number. And then when you narrowed down each number enough, he would then add a decimal point, hence the Dewey Decimal System, of course. And then the numbers to the right of that decimal point would narrow down your categories ever further. But of course, the problem is that Dewey lived in, devised the system in Amherst, Massachusetts. He'd been to university there. He was hired in his early 20s to create a catalog. He hadn't traveled. He didn't know much about libraries. Not sure he really knew too much about the world. And he based it on an Anglo-centric, European-centric, Christian-centric worldview. And today, this causes huge problems for libraries.
It is value-laden.
It is hugely value-laden. I mean, everything, of course, is value-laden, which is why we love the alphabet as a system, because it has
because it's neutral. Yes, it's such a democratizing thing, which is not to say that cultures in which there is no alphabet can't be rigorously organized. China, for example.
Of course not. China had some of the very earliest reference books and devised many highly sophisticated methods of archiving and storing and being able to find information. They actually devised this far earlier than most of Europe. The system that dictionaries used for centuries in China was a system whereby each ideogram, each word that is represented in a Chinese character, has a number of brushstrokes. The brushstrokes are called radicals. So dictionaries divided up the characters by the number of radicals, ideograms with two radicals, ideograms with three radicals, four radicals, and so on. And then each ideogram has a primary radical. So you then looked up under that radical. I don't, by the way, speak or read Chinese of any form, so I'm working hugely blind here.
But you have an inside running.
This is the way it was explained to me. However, what's very interesting is that with computers today, the Romanization, which was devised in the 19th century to help foreigners, has hugely taken over because of keyboards.
But let's go to computers, because here we see at last humanity coming upon an organizing principle which is based around content, which is based around context, which is based around the nature of the thing being described, and that. That organizing concept is the internet, is Google.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we have now gone back to pre-alphabetic times where, you know, you don't put Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers in alphabetical order. We don't bother to put sportsmen named Brown in alphabetical order when we look them up on Wikipedia. We just type in the name we want.
Or the idea, or the thought.
Yeah, we have been freed once again from the alphabet. So it may be that using alphabetical order is an 800-year phase, and it will pass. I'm not sure.
As you say, Judith, this alphabetical order, exquisitely you describe this as being invisible through its 8 centuries of active duty. What a noble endeavor of that series of 26 letters.
I found alphabetizers heroic. I found them hugely moving.
It's a wonderful way to look at the world. And Judith, thank you for bringing us a taste of that.
Thank you for having me.
Judith Flanders, author and historian, and the new book is A Place for Everything, The Curious History of Alphabetical Order. It's published by Picador. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We're watching our P's and Q's.